listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah for another blessed day. Today I want to talk about mercy and sin, because often people get this mixed up. And I want us to understand that mercy never excuses sin. It restores the sinner. And when we look at Yeshua and we think about our wonderful Messiah, mercy is written all over the place. But we have to look at how we treat and think about sinners as well, and their sin and our sin and everything. Because in today's world, many people believe there are just two choices. Either we stand for truth or we show mercy. But that's not necessarily what the Bible teaches. Our Creator never asked us to choose between the two. And this is what I pray we would come to understand. Our Creator commands us to walk in both. You understand that truth without mercy becomes really harsh, and mercy without truth becomes a compromise. A Messiah demonstrated both perfectly. And as believers, we are called to reflect His character. When we call ourselves followers of Yeshua, and I use the name Yeshua, He's the one they call Jesus. Yeshua means Yahweh's salvation. But names in Hebrew have a character connected to them. And the salvation of Yahweh had a character of demonstrating mercy perfectly. But He did it with truth. And He did it in a way where it got over to the person where they accepted it and they understood it. And we are to mimic Him. So we have this issue today with this thing called grace versus law. Grace versus law. And I believe this is one of the biggest misconceptions or problems we have when we teach this, because grace and law do not go against each other. They go with each other. Grace does not cancel out being obedient to our wonderful Creator and following the commandments and being righteous. We can't use the wonderful grace of our Creator as an excuse to keep living against His guidelines and instructions, saying we no longer have to do that. And sadly, I see many preachers teaching that today. We don't have to do that because of grace. Yes, Yeshua died for our sins, right? But He didn't die so we would freely keep sinning and using His wonderful grace as an excuse to keep living sin. It's one of the greatest misunderstandings that we have today. And thinking the idea of mercy means overlooking this sin. Yahweh's mercy has never been permission to continue rebellion. His mercy is an invitation to repentance. Listen to what Yeshua said after everyone had left. In John 8, verses 10 to 11. Straighten up, Yeshua said to her. Woman, where are they? Did no one commend you? She answered, no one, sir. Then Yeshua said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Again, this displays the order of our Creator, and everything has an order that the enemy tries to take apart. First, neither do I condemn you. Then go and sin no more. He removed the condemnation. He did not remove the responsibility. He offered forgiveness, but He still called for repentance. That is biblical mercy. The enemy will try to take things out of order and create this grace versus law philosophy or idea, meaning it's one or the other, it's not both. And if somebody's trying to be obedient, they're called legalist. And if somebody's using grace in a way where they no longer need to keep the commandments. That this is what the common thing is today. There's no responsibility there. Understand, the order was mercy and then the commitment to be biblically correct with our Creator's words. Yeshua led with mercy. And it's mercy that should lead us to repentance. So, I want you to just, if you're driving, stop a second. Think about this. This is something that needs to be spoken about more often. If you're listening to this, look up these scriptures that I'm giving you. See, many people believe fear changes hearts. And scripture says something different. In Romans 2 verse 4, it says, "Or do you belittle the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that Yahweh's kindness leads you to repentance?" Think about your own life. Was it harshness that drew you to Yahweh? Or was it his incredible patience? How many times did Yahweh forgive you before you finally surrendered? If Yahweh has been patient with us, shouldn't we be patient with others? And patience, or we say mercy, or forgiveness, or giving people the benefit of the doubt, or understanding but still showing grace. These things might seem like good qualities to have and good things to do. But when we're in the heat of the moment, you know, through anger and through wanting to get back at somebody for doing something to us, or you know, very rarely do we show these characteristics of a wonderful Messiah. You see, we need to help people and lift them up when they do something wrong, but do it in a way that's going to lead them to repentance. That's like what the Yeshua, his character showed. Okay, somebody messed up. First, we're not condemning them. We're not kicking a person when they're down, but we can't just let it slide. Just as we want to teach our children in a loving way where they're not going to rebel, but feel convicted, but at the same time, not feel condemned. We want to find a way to lead them to see what they did was wrong, but at the same time, not make them feel like they can't come to us and talk to us. You know, there's a difference between condemning and correcting. The Bible commands us to help one another. Lift them up. Yes, to judge, but to judge with righteousness, to lift someone up, not knock them down. There's a right way to do it. Paul explains in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such a person. In spirit of gentleness, keep watch on yourself, so that you also are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the Torah's true meaning, which is Messiah's love." Notice several important words there. Restore, not destroy. Powerful. That's so powerful. These words that are used here. Restore, not destroy. You see, we have the original covenant and the renewed covenant. You know, some people say the new covenant, but it wasn't a new. It was a restoration of what our Creator wanted for us with Yeshua leading the way. And in that, another word that we just gave in this scripture was gentleness, not humiliation. Think about your own children. You don't want to destroy and humiliate your child. You want to restore him to righteousness and do it in a gentle way. And then the words, "watch yourself," that was given in scripture. Not merely watching everyone else before correcting other believers. Ask yourself, could I fall into the same temptation if Yahweh's grace were removed from my life? Whether you believe it or not, the answer is yes. The realization keeps us humble. We want to look at the character of Yeshua. This is what he set out to do. He didn't come for the healthy, he came for the sick. He didn't come for the righteous, he came for the sinners. To show them in a gentle but a firm way that'll lead them to repentance. You know, so we must stay humble when we're in a situation where somebody's doing something wrong. You know, how are you going to treat that person? And to say nothing is the worst thing you could do. If you see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing, especially another brother or sister, to judge them in quietness is the worst thing. You got to help them, let them know. They might not know. But you can't do it in a way where they feel like you're picking on them, or you're doing it to kick them while they're down. No, you do it in a way to lift them up. You know, never forget where our Creator found you. We all have a testimony. You know, we all have a past. You know, and sometimes the sins we committed were public and well known, but sometimes they were hidden. But we have all sinned. All of us. And Paul reminds us in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. For I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. You notice the word all. Not some, but all, for all have sinned. There is no room for spiritual pride at the foot of the cross. We all came as sinners needing mercy. So as we think about this, remember, Yeshua spoke the truth always, and we're to speak the truth always. But we must do it in love. Now, if a building is on fire and somebody's on the floor above the fire, but they don't see the smoke, you can't gently and quietly tell them, "Oh, I know you're in a dangerous situation." No, in those situations, you got to yell with an urgency. And there is an urgency as people are living in sin and people are playing with fire in a way. You know, yes, there is an urgency, but there are real practical situations where literally people are about to get burned and they have no time, and you need to act quickly and you need to let them know of the danger of the situation. And it might not appear like love when you're yelling and screaming, "Get out of the building." But you're telling them because they need to know. And in those situations, you're doing it in love. If you walk by that building and didn't say anything, that's not love. And in the same way, if somebody's living in sin or doing something against Scripture, you might not have to yell and scream. It might not be the most extreme, urgent, immediate situation like a building on fire and the floor under them is about to reach them. But still, to say nothing, it's not a good thing. It's not showing love. You know, and you have to pray and figure out the way you could reach that person the most. And each person might be different. You know, so, you know, we have to choose and decide the words we're going to use, but do it in love, where it's going to help. Ask yourself this: is this going to help bring this person to repentance, or is this going to push them away? I talk to a lot of people about the way they're acting and what Yeshua did for us. Sometimes they want to hear it, sometimes they don't, sometimes they already know it. But I try to do it in a way where they want to have a conversation with me. You know, they're not running away from me. Understand, truth must be spoken, but it must be spoken in love, not in condemnation. Not in anger, but in love. At least if you want to follow Yeshua, that's what you're going to do. Some believers pride in telling it like the way it is. But Scripture gives a higher standard. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all ways into Messiah, who is the head." You see, truth matters. But love matters also. And without truth, people remained in bondage. But without love, our goal is never... without love, people stop listening. And our goal is never to simply to win an argument, or at least it shouldn't be. It should be to win a brother or a sister. I'm going to say that again because it's so powerful. Without truth, people remained in bondage. You must say something. But if you don't do it in a loving way, people are going to stop listening. We don't want them to stop listening. But we want to do it in a way where they're going to listen. So now the question is, what does love look like? And when we think about how we're sharing the message with somebody, what does love look like? The Apostle Paul gives the greatest description of love in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not brag. It is not puffed up. It does not behave inappropriately. It does not seek its own way. It is not provoked. It keeps no account of wrongs. It does not rejoice over injustice, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now imagine applying this passage before every difficult conversation. Am I being patient with this situation or this person? Am I being kind to them? Am I speaking from love? Or am I trying to prove that I'm right? See, when we often get into a conversation, especially biblically or politically or something on this level, we often do it in a way like, I have to be right. I have to be right. But that's not the goal. The goal is I want to leave an impact, a footprint, or something that's going to make this person think about the situation. You know, understand mercy is a powerful thing. You know, some people think it's not. They think it's a soft thing. You know, the Bible teaches, you know, mercy requires great strength, more strength than revenge or just getting angry or something like this. You know, it takes a spiritually mature person to be able to forgive and just act the way Yeshua acts towards things. Listen to what Yeshua taught in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. You see, if we desire mercy from our Creator, we must become people who extend mercy to others. I hope this is making sense to you all, because it's a powerful message that I think people often miss, and it changed our life when we get this. Forgive as you have been forgiven. This is what the prayer, the life, the idea should be for us. It's a powerful command that Paul gave in Colossians 3:12 to 13. It says, therefore, Yahweh's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as Yahweh pardoned you, so also you must pardon others. Notice the comparison. We forgive because we have already been forgiven. When we remember the depth of Yahweh's mercy towards us, it becomes much harder to hold bitterness against someone else. So think about spiritual warfare and how the enemy wants you to react to things and how you know Yeshua would want you to act. Yes, once again, what would Yeshua do? He wouldn't hold bitterness. You know, he loved his enemies. He cared for them in a way where he wanted them to see this truth of Yeshua. So before we go in judging, understand we are to judge, but do it with righteousness and gentleness, and to do it with mercy in your mind. James gives one of the strongest warnings in the New Testament in James 2, verses 12 to 13. So speak and act as those who will be judged by the Torah. That gives freedom. For judgment is mercilessness to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This doesn't mean that justice disappears. It means that Yahweh's people should never delight in seeing others fall. That's it. If you're a true believer, you should never feel good about somebody who's lost or who's suffering, no matter who it is. And I believe when Yeshua said, love your enemies, this is what he's talking about. Never desire to see people suffer. Our desire should always be restoration. When someone repents, heaven rejoices, and we should too. Yeshua explained Yahweh's heart with a parable. In Luke 15, verses 4 to 7, it says, watch out. Oh, no, it says, which one of you, if he has 100 sheep, and loses one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Then coming home, he gathers his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. The shepherd didn't ignore the sheep's wandering. He went after it. That is biblical mercy. Not pretending sin doesn't matter, but refusing to give up on people. Now, how could we put this into our own lives and practice in our own lives? From now on, before correcting someone, ask yourself, have I first prayed for them in the situation? Has that brought you to a place where you've come to feel so much sorrow for them that you're almost weeping over their situation and where they're at, knowing and remembering where you were once at, stirring up a desire in you to help their restoration? Are you willing to help them after they do repent? And would you treat them the same way as you would treat your own child? These questions reveal the conditions of our heart. Folks, anyone can expose failure. Social media has no issue doing that every single day. News headlines do it every day. The world loves exposing people. Gossip is one of the most celebrated things out there today. Our Messiah came to redeem people. As followers of Yeshua, we must never confuse exposing sin with restoring sinners. Stand firmly on Yahweh's commandments. Never compromise His truth. But let every correction be wrapped in humility, compassion, and genuine love. As we think about this and go on our day, remember, our goal is not merely to point people away from sin. It should be to point people towards our wonderful Messiah. When you leave your house, Is that your desire? Is that your goal? Do you engage with people who do not see things the way you see them? And if you do, how do you respond to them? Do you want to see these people come to Messiah, or do you just want to run away from these people? Do you want to help these people, or do you want to judge these people with no avenue for light? Do you want to let them to live in a darkness? We've been given a great, tremendous gift. Remember the person in Scripture that was forgiven a great debt. And then what did he do? He went and he demanded the debt that was owed to him for someone else. You've been given a great gift, the mercy, the grace, and the love of Yahshua. And that's an ongoing gift that we get every single day. Do not be like that man in Scripture whose debt was forgiven, but then he demanded the debt be paid that was owed to him. You've been given such a great gift. Go out and give others that same gift. Let them know your testimonial. Let them know. But more important, let them see. Let them see Yeshua in you. Let them see mercy in action. Their reaction, their confusion, may it lead them to see something set apart and become something set apart. Hallelujah. I pray this will help you, and thank you. Thank you for listening, and it's my desire to help people see this in themselves. So ask yourself these questions. Reflect these questions to yourself. May Yahweh stir up your heart. I know there's people in your life that you know that need to hear something like this, but even more, they need to see mercy in action. So illuminate Yeshua in your life and show them mercy in action. All the glory be to our wonderful Creator. But He can use us greatly, and He wants us to be more like Yeshua. May Yahweh bless you this day and always. Stay strong, brothers and sisters. Remember to be in joy and peace and shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Let's all sing, I Have a Father.
I have a Father. He calls me His own.